Blog Talk Radio.
Communicate across the sky until you hear the message sent through sound and light, so have no fear.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sportsmonger Show. I'm your host, Brian Steph, and my partner in crime, Jason Avoca, up in the Berg, ready to go as we are about to jump into our NCAA March Madness preview. The show starts tomorrow. I know there's games yesterday, and I know there's games going on tonight. But the big deal, the big show, what everybody's waiting for, is tomorrow, which is also St. Patrick's Day, which means I'm going to thoroughly enjoy myself starting at about 12:15 tomorrow afternoon. Jason, my friend, how are you, buddy?
I'm great tonight. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I know we're a night earlier in the week than we normally are.
Absolutely.
But listen, we had to do this. The tournament starts right Tomorrow, plus it's St. Patty's Day. I'm going to be sitting around watching basketball, drinking green beer. I would be in no shape whatsoever to do this podcast at this time tomorrow night. So we definitely made the right call moving it to today.
Let's just be honest.
So hey, let's not waste any time. Go ahead.
Right. No, I was going to say, I want to share a funny story with you before we get started. This day, technically, in my past, has been fairly hysterical. This upcoming kickoff, the first Thursday, I have actually quit 3 jobs in my lifetime. Not my professional lifetime, only one, but in my high school and college career, I have quit 3 jobs in my life so I can sit home and watch these games.
Well, God bless you. That just makes you an American sports
fan.
That
makes
That's
me the biggest idiot on the planet, actually. No,
not, well, high school, college, no, that makes you smart. Listen, before we go any further, thank you to our sponsor, MyrtleBeachGolf.net. Book your packages. They've got a Myrtle Beach best. Listen to this, Jay. You've been here. You've played. How about picking from 5 rounds of golf from a list of 22 courses, get $150 gift card per player, and the price starts at $274.
It sounds amazing.
Seriously? I'm going to give you $274. You're going to give me $150 back in a gift card?
Right.
So it's going to cost me $124. Sign me up.
Yep.
To come to Myrtle Beach and play? Hell, I'd do that and I live here. I mean, yeah, go to MyrtleBeachGolf.net. Check them out. The Avista Resort is the anchor resort there on the north end. It's fantastic. Friend of the show, friend of Sportsmonger, Mr. Chris Moore, the Frederick Golf Guy, is actually in town and staying at the Avista right now. And he and I are going to be getting together on Friday to have a couple of beverages and talk some golf and see how the golfmonger.com, DYST now, we can start getting some golf reports from the state of Maryland and the Frederick area where Chris is a golf packager of 15-plus years now. We're going to be adding that to the repertoire. So coming later this spring and this summer, we're looking forward to that. Also want to thank the good friends at Proforma, who just jumped on board, be the official clothing provider of Sports Modern Network, DYST now, Face Off Violation. So things are happening, moving and shaking. So, and by next week, we'll have another announcement of another new partner coming on to the family. But let's jump right into what we're here for. NCAA tournament. Last night, it started, the first 4. And by the way, can I say I'm glad they put the name back to what it is, the first 4, the play-in games, whatever you want to call them. Where in a couple of years they tried to say that was the first round and tomorrow starts the second round. No. Right. Tomorrow's the first round. Thursday and Friday are like national holidays, the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. Basketball starts at noon. It doesn't end until about 1 o'clock in the morning. And other than a small stretch around supper time where there might be a half-hour spot or so or whatever where there aren't any games, just because the ones end before the other time. So it's kind of like they let the local news have 10 minutes of time to tell us if there's been any train wrecks or car accidents in the area and what the weather's going to be, and then they bounce right back to basketball. And really was it the last handful of years where CBS partnered, you know, with TBS, True TV, and the other channel, I can't think of it off the top of my head. So all the games are on. You can literally see every game. You can just flip through all the channels. So I'll be watching on the app, the CBS Sports app. Come noon tomorrow, there ain't going to be a whole hell of a lot getting work done by this guy, that's for sure. I've been busting my tail all week to get done everything I needed to get done so that other than tomorrow morning and Friday morning, I'm going to check out come noon both days. I'm not even going to hide it. And my boss knows. She'll call me and say, "So what game are you? Who's winning?"
She'll just ask me who's winning.
I don't even try to hide it. So before we get into talking about the brackets and individuals, let's take a quick look at Vegas odds. This is win the championship. We could break it down round by round, and that'll be something fun that we can do over the next 3 weeks as we do our show. We may have to go on Wednesday night the next couple of weeks to stay ahead of it. But Kansas is still, they finished as the number one overall seed. They've got 9-2 odds according to VegasInsider.com. Michigan State's 5-1. North Carolina 11-2. Kentucky, this cracks me up. Kentucky, according to Vegas, has the fourth best odds, and they're only a 5 seed in the tournament.
The 4 seed.
There are 5 seeds. Oh, 4 seeds, excuse me. Indiana's the 5 seed. Yeah, Kentucky's a 4 yeah. seed. Either way, a 4 seed, but they've got the fourth best odds to win the whole thing. That just goes to show you. That to me, that is fan base driven right there. If you set their odds at too long of a shot, Kentucky. Big Blue Nation is so big that Vegas could lose their shirt if everybody bets on them, and then Calipari gets his boys on a run, and they go win the title. To me, that's got just as much to do with the fan base that would bet on them too much if they were like 35-1, like other 4 seeds are. Miami, Florida is a 3 seed at 35-1.
Right.
You know.
I have them going pretty far too.
You know, what's interesting is the tournament set, the committee set this up, but you've got that second round matchup will be Indiana-Kentucky. Are you freaking kidding me? That's like throwback old school Final Four matchup right there.
Well, and it's not just that. If you troll through there, there are some interesting matchups that could happen all through it. It's not just Kentucky, Indiana.
Yeah, but jumps right off the page because that's round two. Both teams should handle. Indiana's got Chattanooga and Kentucky's got Stony Brook.
Well, how about the opportunity for Texas and Texas A&M to play?
Yeah,
that's
I like that.
And the possibility that Oklahoma and A&M could end up together later on.
That would be a Sweet 16 matchup.
How about the possibility of Villanova Temple? There's a Big Five.
Villanova Temple in the second round. The battle for Philadelphia.
That's right. I mean, this isn't going to happen, and I'm not predicting it. But there is a chance for a backyard brawl in the Sweet 16.
Dude, I'm hoping for the Sweet 16. How fun would that be?
I'm not.
Yeah, because you know you'll get smoked.
Well, they're going to get beat because if they're shooting, Pitt's competitive. If they're not shooting, they might as well just get back on the bus.
Yeah, I tell you, I think they got a tough draw with the Wisconsin team in the first round.
I don't. I've seen Wisconsin play. Pitt's more athletic. The one thing Wisconsin has is a big man, but Pitt's more athletic, and all in all, they shoot better. So
yeah, and those kids in Wisconsin have been there. They got a lot of experience over the last couple of years. Granted, yeah, they weren't the ones on the floor. A lot of them weren't the ones on the floor, but they were still there. They went through it.
This has been a tough year for them. Plus, Nebraska, who is not very good, ran them out of the gym.
Yeah.
So.
No, well, even if Pitt wins the first round, Xavier's a tough match for them.
They're not beating Xavier. My point was, though, and I said that they're not getting to the round of 16. I mean, they're as deep as they are, they're just they're just too inconsistent shooting. So, but it's as I said, it's the possibility of those big matchups.
Well, and you know when you've got conferences that put seven teams in.
Mm-hmm.
You look out, you see repeats of conference games. Like you said, you're looking at Temple Villanova, but you look in that same bracket, you come down into the West, and you're looking at if Texas upsets Texas A&M, you're looking at in the Sweet 16, you're looking at Oklahoma, Texas.
Right.
You know, you're looking at, Iowa State, and, you got in the East, you've got Notre Dame and North Carolina could meet again, they spread them out, but they can only spread them out so far. You know, if they win and, these big conferences get a lot of teams in, and a lot of people are speaking very highly of the Big 12, and I obviously I'm a little partial with you being in there now, but, I really felt like West Virginia got a little bit of of all the three seeds, I think they're probably the best three seed, and I don't know that they got the best draw.
Well, the East is probably the most difficult bracket I've seen.
That's what I'm saying.
10 years, it's the most difficult tough bracket.
But let me tell you, North Carolina.
No, I was going to say the difference is though. I get that they're in a tough bracket. The difference is this year is there are no clear cut. Drop dead great shooting teams consistently, game in and game out. Guys like Steph Curry, those players, like the Kentucky team from a couple of years ago that just had player after player after player, there isn't a team like that out there right now. There isn't one.
No, and that's why.
Dead nut shoot. And
that's why
that,
weeks ago.
Go ahead.
Weeks ago. What did I say to you? Sometimes when the water's muddy like this, you look at the teams that have the best players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said I feel, outside of the obvious, the one seeds like Kansas and maybe North Carolina, that Buddy Hield is probably the best player in the country. And Oklahoma's got a pretty good team around him.
Yep.
And if that cat gets on a streak, he could pick up that team and carry him. And they got the best draw, in my opinion, of all the two seeds.
So they're
The West is not, because I'm not sold on Texas A&M. Because yes, everybody talks about how good Texas A&M is. They should have lost to Kentucky three times. The kid doesn't slam the ball at the end of the game. And they've got eight losses, and the SEC is terrible
this
year. Only two teams from the SEC even got in the tournament, didn't they?
Yes.
A&M and Kentucky? That's it, right?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
They can play in a terrible, terrible conference.
It's terrible year in and year out. Normally, Florida stands up and plays well, but this year
To go along with Kentucky, Florida's usually got a good team. Occasionally, Alabama will throw in a good squad, but so they're the three seed. Duke at the four, they could get beat by Baylor in the second round because Baylor's as athletic as crap.
I have.
And they run.
It's funny.
And they run not. Baylor runs 9-10 guys out there. Duke plays 7 guys.
Yep.
And if they're not hitting the threes, Baylor's going to run them out of the gym.
Oh, there's no doubt. This is the least deep Duke team there is. And if they aren't shooting, they are not great at all.
And Oregon, I was surprised they were a 1 seed. But,
yeah,
I mean, they dominated.
To be honest,
they dominated the Pac-12.
I have Oregon going all the way to the Final Four.
Really?
Just the sneak.
See, I like Oklahoma.
I have them sneaking past Oklahoma. So, I have a skewed version. Now, I didn't watch the Big 12 like you did. I watched it a little. I followed West Virginia. I watched probably 10 or 12 games West Virginia got to play this year because a lot of them were on ESPN, so I had the opportunity.
Right.
And I think the conference as a whole is good, and they're deep. But they don't have any great shooting teams at all, in my opinion. There are a couple of teams that when they're hot, they're amazing. But
Kansas is on a 14-game win streak, and they're winning all their games by double digits. I mean, it's
right.
West Virginia is playing about as good as they played all year through the Big 12 tournament, beating TCU, beating Oklahoma. You know, they held Buddy Hield to 6 points. I mean, and then Kansas, West Virginia was up 1 at half, and Kansas came out in the second half and was like, okay, we're done messing around.
Yeah.
We're going to win the Big 12. We're going to be the number one overall seed. You guys, you know, it's been a nice run, but you're done.
The key, that's because they have guard play. The key to West Virginia is guard play. If you've got good guard play, you can beat West Virginia.
Well,
not handling,
the key to,
you can beat them.
Well,
you can beat them.
Because of the press, you have to have good guard play to beat WVU.
Right.
If you can handle their press. And the thing that scares me even as a West Virginia fan, and you know me, Jason, when it comes to my sports teams, I'm fairly realistic in my expectations.
Yep.
West Virginia was supposed to be like 6th or 7th in the Big 12 this year.
Right.
They ended up finishing 2nd in the regular season and then lost in the championship game. They beat Kansas and Morgantown when they were number 1. They beat Oklahoma twice this year. But they've had some shit losses too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so because their offense is very inconsistent, they live and die on that press, and they don't have. There's not one guy on that team. You talk about shooters. There's not one guy on that team that you can say, Bob Huggins can call a timeout in a tight game and say, and forget the playbook and drop a play on the chalkboard and say, okay, get the ball to him because we need a bucket. They don't have that guy.
Right. Nobody's running the picket fence and throwing it to Jimmy.
No,
Jimmy's not on this team.
Right. Jimmy ain't on this team. They're not drawing up a play and everybody's standing up and saying, Jimmy's saying, I'll make it. I mean, that ain't happening.
Nope. It is.
They don't have a Chipwood. So that's what scares me about any team could beat them that handles the press. Now, as I look at their matchups, Stephen F. Austin likes to run and gun. But I think West Virginia's press will eat him up.
Has one really good guard, they have a good team. The problem is once you get past their starting 5 or 6, they don't go real deep
nothing.
as far as deep.
And West Virginia runs 10 guys. Yeah, that'll be a game that I would imagine might possibly be close at halftime, and then West Virginia just wearing them down the second half.
It's going to be close to about the 30-minute mark, and then at that point, West Virginia's going to beat them by 15, and
that's what I mean.
I
was thinking the same thing down the stretch. The fact that West Virginia runs 10, 11 guys out there will wear them down. The winner of the Michigan-Tulsa game tonight gets Notre Dame. I don't think it matters.
Currently, Michigan's up 42-41.
Okay, it doesn't matter who wins that game. I think if Michigan wins, they got a shot at beating Notre Dame.
Nope.
I think if Tulsa wins, Notre Dame wins. I like John Beilein as the coach. I liked him in Morgantown. I've liked what he's done in Michigan. And Notre Dame's streaky because they rely on their shooting. I don't think West Virginia doesn't have a problem with either, whether it's Tulsa, Michigan, or Notre Dame. I got West Virginia in this week 16 for sure. The sticky part then becomes how can they handle Xavier? Because I think I agree with you. Whether it's Pitt or Wisconsin, I think Xavier gets through to to the Sweet 16.
That's how I have it. But I have them playing Notre Dame, and I'm sorry about that.
That's all right. That's all right. Listen,
I've watched Notre Dame off and on all season, and they're a shooting team, and they do not need room. They can shoot threes from anywhere, and if it's all an if game. There's 10 teams in this bracket, not including the top four or five teams. There are 10 other teams in this round of or in this 68-team group that if they get hot, they can beat anybody on this page.
Yeah.
And they're one of them.
By the way, watching Wichita State play last night, I would not be surprised if they beat Arizona.
I'd be stunned.
I wouldn't be. The way they look,
I'd be stunned.
I wouldn't be. They're two. You talk about needing guard play. They've got two of the best guards. They got one of the best backcourts in the country. Those kids have been starting 3 years. They do.
They lack depth.
But if those two guards, Van Vliet and Baker, play well, and they got a couple of big guys inside, they can match up size-wise with Arizona a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, the guards are going to have great games, but that wouldn't surprise me. We're kind of jumping all over the map here. So let's do this a little systematically. We've been kind of just giving our thoughts overall of the whole tournament. But let's look at the bracket, and let's start in the south, and we'll just work your bracket, left to right, top to bottom.
Right.
Do you have Kansas getting knocked off anywhere, or do you have them making the Final Four?
I have them making the Final Four, without question.
Do you have an upset somewhere in the first round in the South?
Let me see. Honestly, I do have Iowa beating Villanova. Because I have no faith in Villanova right now, or I haven't had faith in them all season. I don't think a conference is very good. I think it's way overrated, and I think they're way overrated. I really don't have any major upsets. I mean, I have Kansas and Miami in the Elite Eight, and Kansas in the Final Four. So that's where I am.
I've been looking at a blank sheet while we were talking, but then I'm going to pull up one of my first bracket that I did. I do this every year. I take when the brackets first become available, like at 7:30 on Sunday, I log on to one of the websites and I pick a bracket based on my first gut thought, and I literally fill out the whole thing in about 45 seconds.
Yep.
And then I see how good my first gut is on everything. And then I do a little more homework and do a little bit of thinking. But I like Kansas in the Final Four. I do have first round upset. And listening to some of the experts, this could be a really long shot because there are some people that like this the other team to go fairly to get to the Sweet 16. But I have Hawaii beating Cal.
You know, I almost. I was so close. I was
Hawaii
so close.
Is very athletic.
Right. I was Hawaii, so close to picking Hawaii.
And so is Cal, though. That's that's the thing. I mean, Cal's no slouch either. But, I mean, they both score around 60, mid-60s a game. Neither of them have much against the top 25. They don't really play a whole lot of people. But Hawaii went 13-3 in their conference. You know, they score 78 points a game. You know, they're playing out in Spokane, Washington. So, I mean, it's not far for either team to travel. I don't know. You got to pick some upsets.
I got upsets coming in the West.
And it wouldn't surprise me to off Cal one. I almost kind of went a little chalk, but I've got Kansas and Miami also.
Yep.
Miami's just been really good in the ACC this year. I mean, you watch a lot of ACC basketball because of Pitt. I watch a lot of ACC basketball because I live in the Southeast and I don't have a choice.
Right.
But I like Miami.
Miami's streaky. Miami's streaky. They're long.
They are.
They're long. They're very athletic, but they're streaky. And if the good Miami team shows up, they'll give Kansas everything they can handle.
Listen, if the bad Miami team shows up, they won't. If the bad Miami team shows up, we're both wrong, and they don't beat Arizona.
They're not getting to the Sweet 16. Yeah, they're going to lose to Arizona.
They'll lose to Arizona if the bad Miami team shows up.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, if the good one shows up, they can beat Hamlin Villanova, I think. Let's go over to the East.
Yep.
Do you have North Carolina getting knocked off anywhere?
No, I have them making it to the Final Four also. I'm pretty much chalk, unfortunately. I'm chalk. I'm chalk at, you know, on the top of that bracket, on the bottom of that bracket. I'm all over the place.
See, on the top of the bracket, I got Indiana playing North Carolina in the Sweet 16. I've seen Indiana several times this year, and I really like them. And that's why I think it's a little bit unfortunate that they play Kentucky in the second round.
Yeah, I got Kentucky in North Carolina, but yeah.
And I've got I've actually got Michigan. I think Michigan will win tonight. I got them beating Notre Dame. And then I got West Virginia beating Michigan. I gave your boys Pitt the first round. And just for fun, I got them beating Xavier so we can have a backyard brawl.
That would be for fun.
And in the Sweet 16. And then West Virginia actually going on to play North Carolina. And I got North Carolina in the Final Four. Okay, you said you got a bunch of upsets in the West. Let me see what you got in the West.
Yeah, in the West, I have Northern Iowa beating Texas. Shaka Smart getting shocked himself.
Yeah.
I also have Oregon State beating BCU, even though I don't think that's much of an upset, or that's an upset at all. But I think VCU's more talented. Oregon State's just had a better season. That's my opinion, Hank. My opinion.
That's a tough one. That was a tough one for me to pick. I went VCU, but that's a tough one. I wouldn't be surprised either way in that game.
Right, but I have actually that was my only one. I thought I had a couple on there, but that was really my only one. It looks. Across the board, I think I'm mostly chalk, which is not enlightening. I'm normally not like that. Seton Hall's my big one. I have Seton Hall in the Midwest going farther. Outside of that, I think it's mostly chalk. I really do. I just don't think the little guys or the lesser teams have enough depth to go far enough.
So who's coming out of the West? You have Oregon?
I have Oregon playing Kansas, Final Four. I have Oregon playing Oklahoma, Oregon advancing.
See, I have Oregon and Oklahoma, and I have Oklahoma advancing. I told you weeks ago, it's hard for me to change. I can't just get off Buddy Hield, and that Oklahoma team could make a run. Yeah. And it all hinges on him. So I'm putting a lot of eggs in one basket, but I think he's good enough.
I just think once you see how I picked all of them, I mean, to be honest, I have very little. It's not that I didn't have any faith in the Big 12. I didn't think they could get more than one in. I just didn't see more than one in a Final Four. I saw Kansas doing it. I don't think the other teams have enough consistent shooting or on enough or are or on enough or they are enough. on enough of a roll to advance. I just don't see it. That's just me. You're the Big 12 guy. I watched a handful of games. I feel comfortable with my thought, but I could be dead wrong, and it could be four of them in there, because for all I know, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I actually listened to one guy earlier today have Kansas, Oklahoma, West Virginia, and Michigan State is his Final Four, so three Big 12 teams.
I don't see it. I mean, I don't see it. That's just me, though, you know? And when you go to the Midwest, when you bop over to the Midwest, I have Virginia and Butler. Virginia, you know, going all the way into the Elite Eight against Michigan State. I have Seton Hall getting past Gonzaga and also beating Utah and giving Michigan State everything they can handle, because they're on a roll right now. Of any team coming into this tournament, I feel unranked team with, you know, very little, you know, fanfare. I think Seton Hall's got the best chance because they are streaking and on a roll. With
that's
that
amazing.
Said, they run into Michigan State.
I have the exact same thing.
Yep.
I actually have Seton Hall going to the Elite Eight against Michigan State.
Yep.
I have UVA. As much as I don't think UVA is that great, but I think if you look at the matchups, they just fell in their favor.
Yeah, absolutely. But they're not getting past Michigan State.
No. The one team that I think is athletic enough that could give them a problem, and I thought about picking an upset because since I feel that Michigan State's going on no matter what, I thought if I was going to pick one, that would be a spot. But then I was thinking, Jesus, now I'm going so heavy Big 12 that can't be right. Iowa State has two or three really good players.
Yep.
They're just not very deep. And they're streaky. But, man, when they're going, but the way UVA slows the game down and plays defense, and then they play a slow, methodical offense, I mean, they'll win games 50-48.
Right. Well,
and be happy about it. You know,
so it's not just that. It's not just that. Not only can they slow things down, they have one of the, in my opinion, once again, I'm limited. I don't see the Pac-12, and I don't see the Big Ten. I mean, I see some Big Ten games, but I'm limited. I'm ACC bound, you know, up here. Brogdon, to me, is one of the best players in the country. He's one of the seven or eight best players in the country.
Yeah.
He is so solid. He does not make mistakes, and he can shoot from anywhere, and he can make them from anywhere. So, I mean, that's just – he's scary. With that said, you don't bet against Izzo before the Final Four. You just don't do it.
Not when he's got a good team.
He's got a team that's come together late, and, I mean, he's gotten better.
And they're healthy.
Game out. Yes.
And right, you want to talk about you need to have a good player that you can go to? Valentine, I mean, is there anybody playing better than Valentine?
No, not many. Not many, if any.
Buddy Hield, you know, and here's the thing that scares me. I've got North Carolina in the Final Four. And other than because their matchups look favorable, I feel shaky about it. They're the one I feel the shakiest about.
See, they're
they don't play a lot of defense. They rely on scoring.
Right.
And
but they have
I
scoring.
Almost picked Indiana to beat them.
North Carolina, I've seen
because
them.
Indiana's solid all the way around.
I've seen them just annihilate good teams. I mean, just drop 50, 55 points and a half, you know, where it's close, where it's just dead nuts close.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they go off and, I mean, they drop 55 on a good team in the second half. Like, they're not even there, which is why I have them in the championship game.
I actually have Kansas and Michigan State, and I have Michigan State winning it.
There you go. I've got Oregon and North Carolina, and North Carolina winning.
Well, there's your picks. And I'm going to go ahead. I haven't done this yet, but I'm going to go ahead and tweet it out since we're talking about it. And that way it's on the record. along with this podcast.
Absolutely.
It's on, in two places. It's on the record. There's a couple of games in here that I might, that I'm still kind of wishy-washy on. I might change, but none of it affects who I think is going to the Final Four. Like some first round games, I'm not sold on my VCU Oregon State pick where I took VCU, but either one of them is going to lose Oklahoma in the second round, so it doesn't matter other than for points. I picked Syracuse to beat Dayton. Even though a lot of people didn't think Syracuse would even get in the tournament. Just something about Jimmy Boeheim sneaking in there and stealing a game, because it'll be fun to see Boeheim and Izzo go at it and watch Izzo beat Boeheim by about 30 points in the second round.
I got to be honest, Syracuse.
And I haven't seen a minute of the, I've not seen a minute of the Dayton Flyers this year. All I know is a handful of Syracuse games I saw. I watched them lose close on the road to North Carolina. I watched them lose close on the road to Florida State. I watched them lose close on the road to Duke. You know, they're good in the Carrier Dome, but I watched them lose against some really good teams, you know, by a bucket or two on the road in the ACC, and was like, you know, with that zone, you know, and a team like Dayton who's never doesn't see anything like that. I don't know. I haven't seen a second of the Dayton Flyers this year, so I have no idea. I could be a complete idiot with that pick, but again, it's one of those ones that Michigan State's going to beat the winner anyway. So,
well, Duquesne gave Dayton everything they can handle, but that's when Duquesne was playing well because they're part of that conference.
And by the way, our Seton Hall pick could be terribly wrong because Utah's had a hell of a year. But I think Seton Hall's just playing really good right now.
That's my point. You know, they're streaking. To me, they're streaking.
Yeah. And I have Iowa State going all the way out to play in Virginia. And I'm not even 100% confident that Iowa State gets out of the first round. Iona can score.
That's one team I know very little about is Iona. I'm not comfortable. I picked Iowa State because I'm just not comfortable saying I know anything about Iona.
I did take Arkansas Little Rock to beat Purdue in the first round. There's always a 12, there's always an 11, there's always a 10, there's always some, you know, some teams that win like that. And Arkansas Little Rock, their record, they were 29-4. I mean, they won 29 games. That's pretty damn impressive. I don't care what conference you're in.
Right.
You win 29 games. They went 17-3 in their conference. I mean, this kids can play some ball. And Purdue is very underwhelming in their style of basketball and the way they play. There's nothing that jumps off the page about Purdue.
No. There's one thing that jumps off the page about Purdue. I will tell you this, is their size.
Yeah, they're big.
They are gigantic. They are gigantic. And I know Little Rock's probably can run and gun and whatever. But I can tell you, Purdue, what makes them difficult is the fact that they take out a 7-foot guy and they put in a 7-foot one guy.
Yeah.
I mean, they're gigantic. I don't know where these kids came from. I don't know where they grew them, but they are gigantic.
Yeah. You got to have a few upsets. And, you know, it's so funny. I don't know about you, now that we've kind of gone through our picks. And we got about 5 minutes left. I find myself every year rooting against my own brackets.
I root for chaos. I root for chaos every year. I so badly would love to see a Final Four where a 10 was playing an 11 and, you know, just some crazy stuff. And a 6 was playing a 9 and the winner ends up being a 10 seed. Yeah, I would love that. That would just be great. I mean, for me, that would be unbelievable.
Well, the highest seed ever to win the title wasn't NC State in 83. Weren't they like an 8 seed?
Yeah.
Something like that. I think that
they
might be
higher.
Villanova one year was Villanova was a 7 or 8 one year. I mean, they've had some higher there's been a couple, but usually you don't get higher than a 4 seed winning the title. But I find myself all the time sitting there watching the games and going, I know I picked North Carolina, but holy crap, it looks like Tulsa's going to beat them, and I'm rooting my butt off for, you know, people look at me and say, that's crazy, you're picking against your bracket. And I'm like, everybody and their brother picked the other way, so I'm not losing anything in my bracket.
Right.
You know, the way we pick these, you know, if it gets into the game where, first round, like you said, we all picked, you know, you went chalk, but you can't tell me that even though you have Oregon in the final four, you can't tell me though in the second round if St. Joe's isn't giving them a run for their money, you're not rooting for St. Joe's to upset them.
See, the fact is, one of the great things about this, and one of the great things about college basketball, is by the time tournament time comes, I don't care who wins. It doesn't matter to me. I root for chaos. So I picked chalk this year. Normally I pick half chalk, half chaos. This year I just felt better with chalk. I mean, I how you picked your first bracket is how I do mine. I go down. Yep. Feel good. I circle a couple that I'm not comfortable with. This year, I didn't circle one. I didn't circle one, so I know darn well I probably won't come close.
Well, the one I went over with you tonight was the one I sat down very first. Took about 45 seconds to do.
Yep.
Now I've got a couple others that I've included in some leagues that I'm investing some monetary in that I've took a little more time in. And what ended up happening is this bracket will probably do better and I'll be pissed that I just didn't go
right.
With my gut.
Right. You should have had your wife pick stuff out of a hat because it might work out better for you.
Listen, it might. Who knows? But, you know, I just think that, you know, here's something for you, though. As much as you said you like Miami, and if the good Miami shows up, they could go all the way to the Final Four. If you're a betting man, Miami is 35-1. Be a nice little payout if they make it to the and win the whole thing. Because if the good Miami shows up,
all right,
they can
absolutely.
they can play with anybody.
Yep.
And that is truth right there. So it's about all the time we got tonight. It's fun. Listen, tournament time is so much fun to me. I would like to try to live for it. I'm going to be completely useless for the next two afternoons at work and you know, going to be throwing the fact that tomorrow's St. Patrick's Day, and it's just crazy. All weekend, all basketball, all the time. I'll be so tired come Monday morning because I won't miss a second of any of the games. I'll watch the West Coast game tips off at 10:15 or 10:30 all the way to the end because that's what I like to do. So you got your give me your final one more time, your championship game, Kansas and
Oregon, North Carolina.
You got North Carolina winning. I've got Kansas and Michigan
Correct.
State, and I got Michigan State winning. All right, I'll bet you a beer that we're both wrong. So that being said, for Jason, I'm Brian. This has been a fun show. Once again, thanks to our friends at MyrtleBeachGolf.net. Follow us on Twitter at @PittSportMonger, @GolfMonger. We will be tweeting out our brackets and how we're doing and our commentary all along, all through the first round. We'll be back next week, next Wednesday again, to look back at the first weekend, preview the second weekend, and again, the Sweet 16 and see how smart we were or how stupid we were on either end of this. But and I'll probably throw out a quick Periscope or video podcast myself off and on throughout the weekend. So be looking forward to that. So once again, this has been a Sportsmonger Show brought to you by MyrtleBeachGolf.net. For Jason, I'm Brian. Enjoy the tournament, everybody.
When the iris of the sky